Thank you. All right, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you. It's a special Sunday. Like Anthony said, we have baptisms. It's always a special time. And like Anthony said, my name's Jason. I'm usually up here leading worship for you guys. It's always a pleasure and an honor to do that. And Mark, I love when he fills in for me. I get to be in the congregation and worship with my wife, which is always a good time. And don't get to do it that often. So, Mark, great job today. Thank you for filling in. So I serve as an elder here, and I'm always thankful for the opportunity to preach a couple times a year when Pastor Ray asked me to. So would you guys stand as we read our verse for today? We're going to continue in the series in Colossians. We'll be in Colossians 3. And it's a great passage of Scripture. It's an important passage of Scripture. So let's read it, and then we'll get into the message. It says, chapter 3, verse 1, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all." So there's a lot in this passage, but Paul centers his teaching to the Colossian Christians and to us today of our new identity in Christ. Because before we can live differently, we need to think differently, and before we can think differently, we need to know the truth of what Jesus has done for us and to us. And that this brings us to our big idea, which is to move into Christ-centered identity. So would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for everyone here that has come to be in your presence, to hear your word. We thank you for your word, God. Where would we be without your word? We'd be groping around in the darkness, searching for you without any help or hope. But you have spoken, and you preserved your word, and you gave us this word today. And you have made us alive with you when we trust in you, God. So I just ask that you would... that you are here, but you would move in a powerful way as we learn from your word this morning. Would you teach us? Would you enlighten us? Would you renew us in the knowledge of you this morning? I just thank you and I praise you and I give you this time. We offer up this time to you. Would you have your way? In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, you may be seated. I mean, that'd be interesting. Should we just have a one where we stand the whole time? That'd be fun. Maybe we'd get shorter messages that way if we knew everyone was standing. But yeah, so this is an important passage. There's a lot to it. And so we're going to discuss these things. We're going to see what God is telling us. Here, who likes movies? You guys watch any movies? Are you familiar with a movie called Catch Me If You Can? Yes. Yeah? Leonardo DiCaprio. Steven Spielberg directed it. Well, it's a film based on a true story about Frank Abagnale, Jr. He's a teenage con artist who successfully impersonates a pilot, a doctor, and a lawyer, and he cashes millions of dollars in fraudulent checks, all while being pursued by an FBI agent. It's a great movie. It's a fun movie. It's cool that it's based on a true story. So I have a little short clip for us that Erica could pull up, and we're going to watch this short clip.
Trying my best not to be afraid. I'm sorry I ran away, but you don't have to worry. I'm gonna get it all back now, Daddy. promise. I'm gonna get it all back.
Are you a real live pilot?
I sure am, little lady. What's your name?
Celine.
Celine, it's a pleasure to meet you.
It's a pleasure to meet you too.
That's good.
Dear Dad, you always told
That's
me
good,
that an
Erica.
Honest man has nothing to fear. So I'm trying my best not to be afraid.
Yeah, so do we notice anything in that clip? He's in the full uniform. He's walking around. People are turning their heads. They're impressed by him. The little girl's excited to meet him. Are you a real pilot? Oh, yes, I am. Yes, I am, little lady. So he's charming. He's charming. He's playing the part. And, so based on how he looks, his identity he's presenting, it changes how he acts. It changes how people respond to him. So he's perceived, his perceived position influences how he's seen and treated, even though he didn't deserve it. It changes, it influences Frank's attitude, the pilot, when he's in that uniform. His attitude, his confidence, his overall demeanor is different. He's a teenager. He's like 18 or 19. And people are like, wow, he's a pilot. Whoa. He begins to increasingly live and behave like a pilot. He lives into the identity he portrays. Now, this is just a short clip, but the whole clip of him becoming a pilot is like 8 minutes or so. And you see all the work he does. He like does an interview with like the Pan Am, and he learns the pilot lingo. He learns how much they get paid. He learns where to get like the uniform. He does all this work to learn this new identity he wants to portray. And he must do all this work to pretend to be a pilot. I think as Christians, whether you've been a Christian for a while or you're just starting out, we can kind of think this way. We can have this idea that we have to earn our identity, that we have to do all these works to earn, like, if I do more good, all this good stuff, then I'm a good Christian. If I do some bad stuff, then that means I'm a bad Christian. I'm failing. But God gives us, excuse me, God turns this whole idea upside down. He gives us our identity first, and then we walk into it. We mature into it. So we don't work to become who he says we are. He says who we are, and then we live out of that. We don't live to earn our identity. We live out of our identity. And so it's kind of a whole different paradigm shift. Sometimes we want to work, and it's like, well, if I do this, that means what I am. But God, he says, you are this, and now live it out. Grow into it. I just think that's a beautiful thing that God does for us. And so the more we live in alignment with our true identity in Christ, the more we feel secure in it, the more we grow, and the more confident we get in it, the more we mature. And Paul wants us to accept this truth in Colossians 3. He wants us to live our true identity in Christ, and it informs everything we do, our thoughts, our desires, our attitudes, our behaviors. Our life is an overflow of who and whose we are, not only what we do. And there's this book I've read before. It's called Atomic Habits. Have you guys heard of it? It's a best-selling book. And the Bible says this, you know, it was written a couple thousand years ago. Paul wrote this. And this guy has this book about how to break bad habits, how to start new habits. And he says this in his book. He argues the same thing as Paul. He says, true behavior change is identity change, where the goal is not to achieve an outcome, but to become the type of person who can achieve it. By focusing on identity-based habits, you shift from I want to I am, letting your habits serve as evidence of your new identity, with each action acting as a vote for the person you wish to become. And that's what Paul is trying to get us to understand. That's what God is telling us. You trust in him. He's moved you from death to life. You are alive. You are with him. You've been raised. You're seated with him. That's your identity. And so we live out of that. And every time we live in alignment with that, we confirm what is already true. So if we want freedom in our Christian life, if we want to truly live the life Jesus has for us, we must know and accept our identity in Christ. It's not just about what you don't do, it's about who you are and what you do out of that. If we don't accept this, we fall back into familiar habits of our old self. Somewhat surprisingly, in this passage that we read, Paul doesn't give us like an easy 1-2-3 step. Like, hey, just do this one thing, that one thing, and you'll be good. Or like, these are the checklists you need to do to be the best Christian you can be. Which is kind of surprising, and it's kind of hard for us in our day and age, I think, with this reality. We like the practical steps. Let me just do this, 1-2-3, and I'm good. I'm good with God, 1-2-3. All right, I was a good Christian today. We want fast results, or I don't struggle with this anymore because I did this one step or this one step. And so it's a little difficult, I think, in our day and age when we want quick results. But Paul and God informing Paul, he shifts the thinking from what I do and don't do to who I am and who I'm not. That's the shift. Paul introduces this reality in Colossians 1:13 as well, which we read a couple weeks ago, which says, he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So Paul's saying our earthly life has died and we've been made alive in Christ by the power of God. So that's our Christ-centered identity. We've been made alive in Christ by the power of God. So, but there are a couple practical steps Paul does give us to help us on our way. He gives us our identity. He reminds us of it. And so the first point we have today, it's Christ-centered identity, and then it's Christ-centered focus. It's our first point. As says in Colossians 3:1-4, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. So set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are of earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So Paul tells us that we no longer live in a way that views this temporal life, this transient life, as all there is. We have been raised to heavenly life, a life in Christ. And Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father and is given all authority in heaven and on earth. This is where our true life resides. It's not in earthly things or earthly possessions or earthly careers, but in heavenly things and heavenly positions. That's what our real life is. That's who we are. That's what we're a part of. Paul uses past tense language. It's not like you will be raised. It's you have been raised with Christ, for you have died. But he's talking to these people in the present. So it's like, huh, what? So he's saying this has already happened to you. It's not something we have to do. It's already been accomplished when we've trusted in Christ. This is the true reality of our life. Our earthly life, if you've believed in Christ, its sinful desires has been put to death and buried. And our true life has been in Christ. Paul says it this way in Galatians 2:20. He says, for I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Yeah, you guys know it. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the reality. This is the focus. This is what we seek. We set our minds, our hearts on these things, on Jesus and on heaven, on the real life, the true eternal life. This is where our life resides. And Paul, he says it this way again in Philippians 3:14. He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I love that. God has an upward call. It's not here on earth. It's not down. It's upward. That's where we're going. We're going to meet him. So we live in an upward call. We answer that upward call. He's calling you to live a heavenly life on earth just as he did. He's calling you to be in the world, but not of the world. Paul tells us how to seek and set our minds on things above. Again, Philippians 4:8. I want to hit you guys with some scripture here. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. That's how we seek the things above. That's how we set our mind on things above. We think about these things. And all those things can be found in Jesus. He is excellent. He's worthy of praise. He's good. He's lovely. So the more we think about him, the more we focus on him, the more we live into that identity. So again, it's kind of stacked here in this verse. First, we understand our Christ-centered identity. That's the first step. That's where we have to start. Then we start having a Christ-centered focus. We live with a Christ-centered focus. And Paul continues on with that. Once we understand the reality of our new life in Christ, we can respond appropriately by having a Christ-centered funeral. And that sounds a little weird. A Christ-centered funeral. What? The funerals are sad. We mourn. But it says in verse 5 through 9, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. So again, it's all connected. Because of verse 1 through 4, the reality of the heavenly life, our identity, we live in Christ, stated in verse 1 through 4. The earthly, sinful way of life is incompatible. Paul gives a list of earthly, sinful way of living. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, idolatry, anger, wrath, malice, man, the list goes on. And we've all walked in some essence of these. We've all done them. We see them in the world. It's the normal way of the world a lot of times. This is how the old self lived. But the old self has been put off when we trusted in Jesus for salvation. So when things are dead, they don't have influence on us anymore. The influence has died. When we're secure in the knowledge of our identity, our Christ-centered identity, and are focused on living in a heavenly manner, a kingdom manner, we realize that our old way of living, when we didn't know Christ, is entirely incompatible. They just don't work together. But sometimes, you know, we forget this. We get distracted. You know, there's some pull on us for the old life. We forget that the old life is dead. And if we're honest, sometimes we like to pretend that the old life's not dead. We like to dabble in it a little bit, if we're honest. And so this reminds me of, I read this a couple years ago, but I think it's good for this. There's an Indonesian tribe. Yeah, I'll let you know when to show the pictures, Erica. and they have this ritual known as Ma Nene, or Nene, I think is how it's pronounced. And the tribe, every couple years, they dig up, they clean, and they redress the bodies of deceased relatives to honor and celebrate them and to maintain bonds with their family members. And they pose with photos of mummified remains and repair their coffins, and they dress them in their favorite clothes, they brush their hair, they bring them favorite drinks, they even, like, have them have a cigarette. So before I show you some photos, so they're mummified, so it's not real gruesome, but it is a little shocking, so we can put some of those up here. So yeah, that's one of his family members, and they're bringing them out of their tombs and coffins. Yeah, brushing their hair. So that's how they maintain bonds. They don't leave their dead in their graves. They go visit them. They maintain the bond. They're alive, but they go and visit and bring out and treat them like they're alive. And I think this is what we do sometimes. This is a picture I got when we go back to our old life. It's buried and dead, but we go dig it up. We try to clean it up a little bit. We maybe honor it a little bit. We maintain bonds with our old self and old life of sin when we don't put the earthly things in us to death. When we participate in sexual immorality or impurity or lust or evil desires, greed, pride, bitterness, obscene talk, anger, slander, lying. We don't treat these attitudes and behavior as dead. We're like the people in the pictures. The people in the pictures are alive, but they're keeping company with things that are dead. They're keeping company with them. They're honoring them. Sometimes we're all tempted to dig up our old self, our old life, and we try to clean it up, like they brush their hair, you know, put new clothes on them. Sometimes we do that with our old life, especially if we're under pressure sometimes. We can act out and go back to the old way. Sometimes we rationalize, hey, it's not that bad. But see, when we see a picture like that, it's like, wow, there's a big contrast. It is kind of that bad. It is. It's like the reality is there's a living person and there's a dead. There's just distinctions. And we can pose with, we can live our dead life like it's normal sometimes. We really need to let the dead things stay dead as Christians. Amen. We need to have a Christ-centered funeral for our old self, our old life. We leave it buried. We need to let the sin that Jesus paid the price for stay dead and buried. We don't honor it. We don't celebrate it or maintain bonds with it. We bury it. We let it lie. And as we've mentioned, we have an all-church baptism today. I believe we have, I think, 3 people getting baptized, and it's beautiful. And baptism is kind of like a funeral. We're laying to rest the old sinful life, the life that was against God, that sinned against God. And when we get baptized, we're identifying with Jesus' burial. And as we come up out of the water, we're identifying with his resurrection, his life. We're witnessing to everyone present, hey, I believe Jesus died. He paid the cross for my sin, and my old life is dead and buried. And I'm going to live in a new way, in my new identity, in my Christ-centered identity. I'm going to follow after him. That's why we do this publicly. It's like a public funeral. We're witnessing that our old life of sin is dead and buried, and our life from above, our eternal life in Christ, is our new life. Instead of mourning this death, as we see, if you've never seen a baptism here, we celebrate, we sing, we raise our hands, we cheer, because it's not a sad occasion. We didn't lose someone we loved. We're gaining someone who loves us. We're living with someone who loves us and died for us. So we're celebrating that we're free from this dead thing that weighed us down, this sin. We don't like that one picture, the guy's carrying it. That's what it's like. Our old life, we got to carry it when we're believers. It's drudgery. It's hard when we're in that, when we go back to our old life. But with Jesus, there's freedom to walk a new life, and he helps us. He provides for us. He gives us the power to live it. And so that's the Christ-centered funeral we need to have. So if you haven't been baptized yet, you trust in Jesus, but you've been putting it off, or you know, maybe you're on the fence. You're like, the old life is, you know, there's this one attitude I kind of like. Or if I go public, maybe I can't yell as much or get as angry. Or maybe if I mess up, it's more of an issue because people know I'm not. Well, we can't be perfect, and Jesus knows that. But we take the step of following him. All right, and that leads into the third point, the third part. We need So Christ-centered identity is where we start. Then we have a Christ-centered focus, thinking on Jesus, on the things above, on eternal life. We have a Christ-centered funeral, putting down our old life, leaving it behind. And then we have a Christ-centered formation. Excuse me. And it says in verse 10 and 11, again, past tense language, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Again, Paul uses a past tense, have put on. It's something you already have if you're a believer, if you trust in Jesus. The new self is there. God wants us to walk in it. He wants us to live it out like it's true, because it is true. This is a reality. It's already happened. We trust in Jesus for salvation. We're born from above, we have the new self. It's just the truth, the reality. It's our state, our position. It's not something we have to do. but it's a transformation God does in us. Our identity is no longer solely based on earthly things like ethnicity, nationality, physical attributes, social, economic standing, your career, your education, your talents, your looks. That's not what we evaluate. That's not what gives us value anymore. It's not on what we do that gives us value. It's who God has made us to be. We become more like Christ the more we think on him. And the new self is being renewed. It says in verse 10, renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. We become more like Christ the more we get to know him. We no longer hold on to the earthly knowledge of like, hey, this is how the world runs. So it's fine. This is how we live. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. Like, hey, that's how I have to make it in the world. But God says, no, you have a new way of living. Let's see, where to go? Yeah, we become more like Christ. We're renewed in the knowledge, the heavenly knowledge, the spiritual knowledge. And we have compassionate hearts and kindness and humility and patience and love. These fruits of the Spirit start happening when we stay connected to God, stay connected to Jesus. The worship team can start making their way up. But to help us understand this, I like to think of this renewed in knowledge after the image. Who here has an iPhone? Anyone have an iPhone? Oh, man, is there a lot of Android people here today? Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, Jesus still loves you. It's okay. You got to put the old stuff behind and come into the new. I mean, it's all right. Hey, we're all in progress. We're all in progress. So there's grace. There's grace for you. But you might be thinking, like, being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Like, that's a compact statement. Like, what exactly does that mean? And so I like to think of it this way. I don't know how it works for the Android people. I haven't had an Android for, like, 16 years. But every so often, you get, like, a notification on your iPhone that says, like, hey, there's a software update. Your physical phone doesn't change. The hardware doesn't change. But there's an operating system that runs your phone. And Apple, the people who create it, they want to renew the knowledge of your software. They want to improve it. They want to get rid of some old processes and give some new ones that are supposed to make it run better. So there's a lot of times, though, like there's some small things. Maybe there's some bug fixes. A lot of times there's security. They shore up security with your update. Sometimes there's a lot of big changes that the software gets. New, like, you know, emojis on the keyboard. You got to have those. Or like new apps, new apps on there, a new way of operating that they implement. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm a little hesitant to do the update. I'm like, I like how my phone's running. I'm not sure I'm gonna like it. Maybe there will be new glitches. I'm not comfortable with how it is. And I think, you know, God wants to update our software. And I think sometimes we're a little hesitant. We like the old way. We have it all figured. We have all our buttons in the way. Like when they got rid of the home button, that's a hardware thing, but like people freaked out, you know? And so maybe things aren't exactly how you're used to it with the old software. But to get the new software, we have to let go of the old. And to update, to be renewed in knowledge, we have to let go of some old viewpoints, old attitudes, old behaviors. With the new update that God wants to give us. He wants to renew our knowledge in the image of the Creator, in His image. Maybe you've been following Him for a long time. Maybe you feel like you have this Christian life figured out. You have the right answers. You have your theology all set up. You know how to do this thing. You have a routine. But the danger of that, sometimes we can start operating in our own strength. Like, I have this all figured out. I got my old software. I know how this Christian life works. But maybe you also have some bugs that need fixing. Maybe there's some security breaches that need to be addressed. Maybe there's something he's calling you into, something new that maybe you feel unready for. Maybe you've gone on autopilot and God wants you to move, to be renewed in your knowledge of him. Or maybe you're just started to follow Jesus. You've been, you know, a couple months in, a year, 6 months, a year in, and you feel like you're failing all the time. It's a new operating system for you. You got some new software. It's like, man, I'm not sure how to do this. I feel like I'm failing. But whichever person you are today, I believe Jesus is calling you to connect with him. He wants you to receive a new update. He wants you to continually be renewed in the knowledge of your Creator. But to do this, you have to let go of some old ways of living the Christian life. Maybe there are some bugs in your life Jesus wants to fix. Maybe there's a new feature he wants to give you that you're unready for, a new way of operating that's more in line with Jesus that God wants you to walk in. Maybe God wants to renew forgiveness to your operating system. Maybe kindness. Maybe there's some healing that needs to be done. Maybe more patience, humility, generosity, peace. Maybe love. Maybe himself. Maybe you have some false ideas of how Jesus operates or who he is. And he needs to let you know what truth is, how he really is. He wants you to be renewed in the knowledge after the image of your Creator. But just like with your phone, you have to connect. A lot of times, what do they say? Hey, connect to Wi-Fi. It's the best way to do it. Like, we have to take the time, and then your phone sits there. You can't use your phone. You have to sit there and be with Jesus. You have to connect. This isn't a fast, like, all right, update. Okay, Jesus, we're good, okay. It's like, no, we got to take the time. He does it. It's not a fast food, you know, drive through. Okay, Jesus, thanks for this. No, it's like he wants to renew. He wants to spend that time with you. He wants to let you know that he loves you, that he forgives you. Let you know that you got to let some things go. He wants to show you that he is love, he is truth, he is kind. So to do this, we need to spend time in prayer with Jesus, time in his word, time in community, time in worship. In a moment, I want to give us a time to connect with Jesus here in this service. For prayer, we will come up here, we can pray with you. And also, if you're not a believer in Jesus, maybe you're just here because you're a friend of someone who's getting baptized, maybe you grew up in one of the other religions. If you're here today and you never connected with Jesus, today is your opportunity. God is working all things for the good. He knows where you're going to be. He knows where you were. He can lead you into where he wants you to be. So if you're here today and you only have this earthly life, you're like, hey, this life is all there is. I just got to live it to the fullest. I got to do me. It's me and no one else. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you haven't trusted him for salvation. A relationship with Jesus isn't about earning salvation or being good enough to please God, because that's impossible. But it is about trusting Jesus, that he earned the salvation for you. He took the punishment for your sins on the cross, that though he was innocent of all sin, he paid the price that you couldn't pay. He allowed a way to be connected to God. Sin separates us from God, and Jesus dealt with that so we don't have to be separated from God. The giver of life, the author of creation, he knows you. He knows every hair on your head, the Bible says. Who counts the hairs on their head? No one does. I mean, unless, depending on how many you have. Anyway, that's a whole nother thing. I don't want anyone struggling. I'll be there soon, I'm sure. But yeah, no one counts the hairs on their head. But God knows. He formed you in your mother's womb. He created you in the image of God, and he wants you to come home. We're searching for so much. We think we'll find it out there, but God is saying, I'm right here. I am your home. I am your identity. I am the creator. That's why you have that longing, because I created you. You're supposed to be with me. I want you to be with me. God did everything so you could be with him. He paid the price you couldn't pay. He provided the sacrifice that you couldn't provide. He removed all the boundaries, all the things that separate. And he says, he calls you upward to him. He calls you upward. Hey, come home, son and daughter. Let me save you. Trust me. I'm good. I've never failed anyone. He's true. He never lies. The Bible says he's not a man that he should lie. He doesn't lie. He's faithful. And he can handle whatever you're going through, whatever you're feeling, any wrongs you've done, the horrible sins we've done. It's not a surprise to him. He knows. And that's why he came, to save and redeem you and redeem those sins. So as a worship team, as they play this song, I want this opportunity. You have an opportunity to connect, whether you're a Christian for a little while, a long time, or you've never connected with Jesus and you're hearing about him for the first time, or you've heard about him and you're not sure, but you want to connect. We're going to hear this song, whether it's for the first time or the millionth time. God wants this time to connect. So this altar up here will be open. The prayer team will be here to pray for you, to lay hands and pray for you. So let's worship and have a time of ministry here.
Come on, how many of you are thankful for the word this morning? Can we just give honor Jason just for his time of preparation and just what he was doing? So thank you for that, bro. Hey, this morning we're going to transition into a big portion of our service. And so I'm going to go ahead and hand it off to Anthony, and he's going to lead us into this portion of baptism. So you could go ahead and take a seat. We got a couple more minutes together.
Awesome. This is a very exciting time of our worship and service today. But I would be remiss if I didn't thank the people that helped me do this, because I don't do this alone. I want to thank the newest member on our team is Joy. Joy, stand up. Yeah, Joy's going to be helping in the future and eventually one day actually hosting this. So thank you, Joy. And then Ken, who helps me fill up the water. Ken, stand up. Ken Santiago. He's humble. There are so many people behind the scenes that help to do baptisms. But the ones that I really, really want to thank are the mentors. The mentors that actually get in there with the person that's going to get baptized and help them to grow and help to make other disciples. Because the Bible tells us disciples are supposed to make other disciples. And that's what these mentors do. So give it up for the mentors that are going to be up here. And I'll ask you guys to come up forward. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Yep. I'll introduce you to them as they come up right now. I'm excited today because they're going to be baptized. And I love the illustration that Jason used, that their old self is dying and their new self is coming out of the water. I'm excited for that. But don't get this mixed up. The waters doesn't save them. The act that they're doing isn't saving them. All it is an act of obedience. It's the very first step in them saying, yes, I believe in Jesus and I want to follow Jesus. So that's what saves them, Jesus, not the water. But today what the water is, it's a public declaration of an inward commitment. Each one of these ladies up here said, yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I want to follow him. What's the next step? And that's baptism. So I'm going to go through and I'm going to ask these ladies, why are they choosing to get baptized? And then hopefully they'll encourage you. So Nisi, she's our youngest one up here today. And so I'm excited for her. Yeah. So why are you choosing to get baptized today?
I'm choosing to get baptized today because I want to grow closer to my faith. I am only 12 years old, but I just want to start young so then when I'm older, I can be the one to join this church and more mentor younger people. Before Jesus, I was very sinful. I struggled with a lot of sins, especially envy. I was jealous of other people who were stronger in faith than I was. And now I feel more proud of myself. I focus on myself. I focus on Jesus. I read my Bible. I pray every night, and I'm just really proud of how far I've come.
Amen. Amen. She's a good example of what Jason said, right? Her phone has been upgraded. Awesome, yeah. So I'm excited because Mariah got baptized, what, about a year ago?
Yeah,
about a year ago. And so she is actually mentoring her sister. So I'm excited. What was it like mentoring your sister?
It was just a lot of growth that I seen, just bringing her into the church so young and seeing her faith. Sorry. It's just amazing to just break cycles. And I'm just so proud of her and just glad that we're going to be the two baptizing, and just praying that my other siblings will follow God as well.
Awesome. If you can't sense her emotion and you haven't baptized anybody yet, you get so much more out of it than the person that you're baptizing. So I want to encourage you, if you're thinking about mentoring somebody, let me know, all right? Ali, don't be nervous. Why are you choosing to get baptized today?
I would say I'm choosing to get baptized today due to, I had a whole speech, prepared. I forgot it all. I would say simply because I felt like I couldn't ignore God's calling anymore. I would say also it's like I wanted to put my past behind me due to I used to deal with addiction and stuff like that. And so I so it's good to put it behind me and just follow Christ and put all my faith into him and stuff like that, because it's really helped me grow as a person, meet amazing people like my boyfriend Trey, and I would just be glad to put my faith into Christ and allow others to see that through me.
Thank you, Ali. Yeah. So she mentioned the word waiting, right? What are you waiting for? If you feel that God has been pulling on you and tugging on you, we have shorts and t-shirts back there. Well, I'll baptize you today. Come on. I mean, don't wait any longer. Don't wait any longer. Ollie's witness to that, all right? Mackenzie, is this the first time in the water? No, I think you've been.
Second time.
Awesome. Yes. Second time mentoring somebody. What was it like mentoring Ollie?
Yeah, it was really great. If you know Ollie, she is super sweet and kind. And so it's been really great getting to know her. Like she said, Trey brought her a couple months ago. And then for Easter, she stood up and got saved. And after Easter for the service, her and Trey came up and they were like, hey, can she get baptized and go through the blue book? And I was like, yeah, of course. It takes about 4 weeks. And she's here at Concordia, but she's actually transferring back to Las Vegas and where she's from. And she said, oh, man, May 3rd, my flight's home May 3rd. And we were like, oh, man, what time? And she's like, I think 7 p.m. And we're like, we have time. Let's baptize you. So this is it's bittersweet because she's leaving. It's been so great to get to know her. But it's kind of like a parting gift and a great way to stay connected, that we're connected through Christ. And so I'm super excited we get to do this.
Amen. Awesome. And then we have Yadira. Yadira. You got to roll your R's. And she's choosing to get baptized, and I just want to ask her so she could share her story with you guys.
Okay. Hi, my name is Yadira, and I started coming to New Life about a year ago. I grew up in a Catholic household, but me and my family were never really committed to going to church or hearing God's word until 2 years ago, when my mom put me in church school to get my sacraments because she really wanted me to be more involved in my religion. But it never really helped me because the people around me weren't bringing me closer to Christ, and I honestly wasn't putting much effort to do so myself. That was until my boyfriend, Gael, invited me to New Life, which made me feel welcomed and encouraged to know more about Jesus. At first, I had trouble staying focused and let negative thoughts and others' opinions, including my family's, become an obstacle in my journey with God. But I always had people to remind me of what actually mattered. And now, thanks to all I've learned here at New Life and to the new church family I've surrounded myself with, I am declaring that I will no longer look back at my old life, and I am not ashamed to say that finally, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. I'm excited because Ollie's actually going through a 10-week class of growth process that we're actually doing here at New Life. It includes the blue book and then goes on to help her grow in her spiritual faith. So I'm excited for you and how that's going to go. What was it like mentoring her?
So as you guys have heard, she's been here for 2 years, and so she's very quiet. And I'm so glad and honored that she was willing to trust me and let me in, and she's super vulnerable and super honest. And so I'm just really excited for this next step for her. And Anthony said, she's a part of a 10-week intensive discipleship class, and she's been all in, again, being super vulnerable, transparent. And so it's been a great journey to be with her. So
Awesome. So they're about to make their way into the back to get into water. So I invite you guys to really get excited and cheer for them as they come out of the water, as their new creations.
Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Can we give the Lord a hand clap? Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Hey, we have a common thing that takes place here at Montclair. In the past couple of times, I've given a spontaneous call for baptisms, and we've actually had responses with it. And so I'm not going to allow this moment to pass without extending it again. And if there's anybody in the place and they're saying, man, the Lord is just speaking to me, I've given my life to Jesus, and I know I hear him sensing and calling me today, that I need to take that step of obedience and enter into the waters of baptism. Is there anybody here in this place? No pressure, by no means. The Holy Spirit could do his own thing. Going once, going twice. Amen, amen. Hey, if today encouraged you, I want to encourage you to connect with the mentor, connect with Anthony. If you're interested, hey, I want to know more about this blue book, please talk to us. We want to guide you through that. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. How many were blessed by today's service? Amen. Hey, we're going to go ahead and close out in prayer this morning. Multitasking, yeah. I'm going to ask every hand raised, every eyes closed as we give the benediction this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before his presence, with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God be our Savior, be honor, power, and dominion both now and forevermore. And may the face of God shine on you, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ enable you. And may the presence of the Holy Spirit both be in you and with you, that he may lead you into all the truth so that you may know him and make him known. I pronounce this blessing on you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. And the church said, amen, amen. Hey, God bless you.